I wonder how you would feel this evening if I told you that one of your distant relatives has just died and they have left behind an estate worth £10 million to go directly to you. And all you would have to do is to step forward and claim it. Well, after you would grieve, of course, you'd be quite happy with that kind of a news. £10 million. The bad news, however, is that no one has bothered to tell you about this news. And so your life just goes on the same as it always did. Now, it's a bit far-fetched, that idea, isn't it? It's one of those too-good-to-be-true kind of stories, but it makes a point, doesn't it? Good news is only good news if you hear it and act on it. It's only good news for you if you hear it and act on it. And that's what we're thinking about this evening. We're continuing tonight in a series of sermons that began last week. It's a series looking at individual verses and passages from the Bible which will push us to do something to win this poor world for Christ. Our theme is winning souls. And that's a theme taken from Proverbs. Proverbs 11, verse 30. He who wins souls is wise. We thought last week about a great commission. Those famous words at the end of Matthew. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And how's that Great Commission prayer list going? Have you got three people that you've endeavoured to pray for as part of that Great Commission? Well, tonight we turn our thoughts to a great gospel. A great gospel. And we're looking at Romans 10, 13 to 15. And we're asking, what is so great about the gospel? What is so good about the good news? What is so great about it? Three things I want to say about the gospel this evening from these verses. Firstly, in verse 13, the gospel is universal. The gospel is universal. The writer of this letter is Paul, and we're coming in here mid-argument. He's speaking about the divide that there is between Jews and Gentiles. Well, he speaks here about Jews and Greeks in the Bible that I was reading from. Now, the thing we need to remember about Jews in the New Testament, they tended to have a great pride problem. And they thought they were God's special chosen people and that no one else counted or mattered, especially the Greeks, especially those Gentiles. They didn't count. And Paul's out here to shatter that misconception. And he says, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. He's perfectly clear on that point. He says in verse 11, just a couple of verses earlier, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. And then verse 12, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. And now, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In other words, he's saying, the gospel, it has no limitations. It has no exceptions. It doesn't say white, middle-class people can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. It doesn't say only townies can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. It doesn't say people raised in evangelical homes can call upon the Lord and be saved. When Paul says everyone, he means all without exception. Anyone, anywhere, at any time can call upon the Lord and be saved. This is a lovely, lovely word. God's standing here. You could imagine him, he's standing through this verse, using this great, liberal, abundant word. Everyone who calls can be saved. Or you might know Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. And it's been rightly pointed out many times in church history. Now, that word is of great, great comfort to men and women. Here's God Himself in His great mercy, and He uses this enormous word. Everyone, whosoever calls, He's opening the door as wide as possible. There's no exclusions. The gospel is universal. It's for those who can't read very well. It's for those who don't understand everything about it. It's for the young and it's for the old. It's for those who've wandered far, far away and they have a thousand memories that they would rather forget. The gospel is for everyone. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's tremendous. The gospel really is for everyone. Its invitations exclude nobody. God is pictured as a rich, merciful, compassionate king, and every beggar can come to Him to receive the riches of His salvation. It's a very simple thing too, and that adds to how broad this gospel is. If you look at what Paul says in this verse, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, that's a very simple thing. The smallest child knows what it is to call on his mummy. He knows what the word call is. Neighbours call to each other as they pass on the street. We call when we want to attract someone's attention. Everyone in the world understands this concept. The gospel says, that's how people are saved, you know. Wherever you are, whoever you are, you can be saved from the righteous anger of God by calling on His name. What a wonderful gospel. There's no message like this one. There's nothing more generous and nothing more blunt as this gospel. There's nothing more promising and nothing more assuring as the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's universal. It's broad. Everyone who calls can be saved. It follows then that it should be proclaimed to every individual, doesn't it? There should be a worldwide proclamation of this gospel. And it's to this point we now turn. So we've thought about the gospel being universal. Secondly then, verse 14. The gospel is essential. The gospel is essential. So far we've seen that if you're to be saved, you've got to call on the name of the Lord. That much is very clear in verse 13. You've got to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. But now Paul goes on to say, well, hang on. He says, before you call upon the name of the Lord, you've first actually got to hear the gospel. Now listen to verse 14. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? In order for the people of the world to call upon the name of the Lord, someone must tell them to, Paul says. If you know the message and you believe it, then you can call. But you can't call if you don't know it. Just as you can't claim that £10 million inheritance if nobody's told you about it, you can't call upon the name of the Lord if you don't know the gospel. Paul's saying you've got to have a definite understanding of what the gospel is to be saved. You must know a minimum. You must know that God exists, that He's a great an everlasting spirit without a body. You must know that God is invisible and He's all-knowing and He's all-powerful. You must know that you live in His presence. You must know that He's holy and pure, and even creatures who have never sinned, they can't even look upon Him. You must know these things. You must know that He's given His law to His creatures. The greatest law is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart. And you must know that God is just, and that not to love the Lord with all your heart is a sufficient reason to be sent to hell. You must know that God is surpassingly wonderful, that Jesus Christ is everlasting God, and being totally God Himself, but yet becoming man as well. You must know that He was conceived in a virgin's womb and born of her, and is God and man in two distinct natures, yet there's only one Jesus Christ. You must know that where you have failed, He is totally sinless and pure. You must know that He didn't deserve to die for any sin, but He did die for sin. You must believe and know that He is risen from the dead, and that He's Lord and God. All these things you must know. You must repent, and you must know that you have to repent. You must be ashamed of who you are, and you must believe and trust in the Lord Jesus. These are all the things a person must know. A person must hear these things. But knowing and hearing these things, Paul would say, isn't enough. Even the devil knows these things. Even the devil has heard these things. Paul says there must be believing on top of these. And my friend, this evening, you've heard these things, and you know these things. Do you believe these things? Because if you hear, and if you believe, and if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. That's the nature of Paul's logic here. Can you see all that worked out? So he says in verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14, he asks, but how are they going to call on someone they haven't believed? He says, well, they're not going to call if they haven't believed. And how are they going to believe in someone of whom they haven't heard? Well, they're not if they haven't heard of him. And how are they going to hear about this someone without a preacher? Well, they're not, Paul says. God has ordained that no one can be saved without the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is essential. Essential for salvation. You can't be saved through mystic meditation. You aren't saved and you don't get into heaven by contemplating space or tying yourself up in yoga knots or looking at the stars. You can't be saved unless you call on the name of the Lord. And you can't do that unless you believe. And you can't believe unless you've heard. And you can't hear unless somebody tells you. That's the logical flow here Paul's talking about. And don't limit that word preaching here to what your minister does on Sundays. That's definitely included. We do believe here in the primacy, the importance of preaching. But this word Paul uses for preaching here is very broad. It includes sharing Jesus with the people that you meet during the week. It's the sort of thing you do over a cup of coffee when you meet and share Christ with a friend. It's what you do when you talk to somebody on the phone or you write to them or you simply share the gospel with them. Somebody must make the truth known to men and women and boys and girls. Imagine a king making certain commands and promises for his citizens. God is the king of all the earth. He has certain commands and promises for his citizens. But how will the citizens know what those commands and promises are unless a herald comes and tells them? And that's the word Paul uses here, this word for herald. It's telling people about the commands of the king. You see, nature is good, but nature is not enough to tell people how to be saved. It tells them God exists, but it doesn't tell them how to be saved. Conscience is enough to tell people that God exists, but it's not enough to tell them how to be saved. Angels know how men and women must be saved, but they haven't been given the job of telling men and women how to be saved. Humans have got to tell humans how to be saved. And that's preaching. Don't tell me you can't do it. People can talk about politics and the financial crisis and the integrity of a government or a prime minister. We can talk about football, fashion, magazines, cars. Some people can talk about cars all day. Money. And the same people say they can't talk about Jesus. My friend, no great gifts are required to talk about Jesus. Every man, woman, and young person here is capable of talking about Jesus. We're capable of telling the truth. There's no great training required. Every one of us this evening is capable of talking to somebody else. And we don't need to have a lot of experience. We don't need to do a lot of investigation to make up the message, because the message has been given to us. We only have to relay it. We can all do something. We can all engage in conversation. We can give a CD with a sermon on it. We can buy a book for somebody. We can use social media. We can invite somebody along to church. There's almost always something we can do. The gospel is essential. How will they call unless they have heard? Somebody must make the truth known. The gospel is essential. So it's universal. There's one great thing about the gospel. It's essential. That's a most wonderful thing about the gospel. Then thirdly, in verse 15, the gospel is beautiful. The gospel is beautiful. And maybe some of us look at verse 15 this evening as our escape clause. Oh, I can get out here if you look at verse 15. How are they to preach unless they are sent? Now, the New Testament does teach that the main business, the main responsibility of spreading the gospel is the work of men specially commissioned to do so. And God calls these men to his work by causing their gifts and their graces to be recognized in the church, which are then expected to commission them to the work which he has so obviously called them. And nobody has authority to go unless he is sent in this way. And so, yes, we should be earnestly praying that God would be raising up and sending out these kinds of men and even women to go to the lost. Gospel heralds have to be sent. Is this your escape clause for mission? Well, what words did we think about from Jesus last week? Matthew 28, verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. It's time to stop the wriggling. We have been sent. Every one of us has been sent. Yes, it's true that some are particularly sent and commissioned, but every Christian has been sent. Go everywhere and spread the gospel. It's the responsibility of all believers to bear witness to Christ. Don't think this is for Premier League believers. This is for every Christian. And Paul quotes here from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah to say something about the beauty of this, about the beauty of the gospel being heralded. Verse 15, part B. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Well, how are you with feet? Some people have real feet phobias. They can't cope with even the idea of other people's feet. What's Paul saying here? Is he saying that the feet of the minister are particularly beautiful? Well, you may be glad to know he's not literally saying that all ministers and preachers have beautiful feet. I can assure you, we don't all have beautiful feet. There's no real beauty in the feet. The beauty, rather, is in the message the feet are bringing. The verse he quotes from Isaiah, the context there in Isaiah 52, verse 7, is that good news has come to Jerusalem that the captivity in Babylon is over. If you've been with us in the mornings as we've been going through Jeremiah, that's really relevant. So we've been thinking about that captivity. So this is good news that the captivity in Babylon is now over. The bondage is over. Deliverance has come. And Isaiah is speaking about a messenger running with the fact that Israel's going to be free, that deliverance has come. Good news. Everyone is so excited and so blessed and happy. And these are beautiful feet because they bring a beautiful message of liberation, a beautiful message of freedom. Not necessarily because they're physically beautiful, but they're beautiful because of the message they carry. And I would say to you this evening that in the eyes of God, beautiful feet are probably different from what you might think are beautiful feet. In God's eyes, beautiful feet, they're not those soft, pedicured, painted, well-tanned feet. In God's eyes, beautiful feet are more like the dirty, worn, wrinkled, leathery, scarred feet of those who trek into remote places with the good news that couldn't be heard any other way. And to God, every messenger of the gospel is a beautifully precious person. People of whom the world is not worthy because of the message that they carry, the work that they're doing. Many of you this evening can remember who brought you the gospel. You can remember with great affection the person who spoke to you about Jesus Christ. And you can maybe name different people who brought the message to you. And even today, your heart wells up with pleasure as you think about those people. And you find the sight of them in your mind's eye exceedingly precious. Is that how others think of you? Is that how others are thinking of you? Are you taking the message? As long as there are people who have never heard this news, we are to be carrying the good news to them. There's an African proverb I came across this week. There's only one crime worse than murder on the desert, and that is to know where the water is and not tell. We know where the water is, friends. We've got the greatest news in all the world. God forgives sinners who trust in His Son Jesus. We've got to tell people. Does it not break your heart this evening that anybody should live and die without knowing the gospel. Every hour of every day, people do die without knowing the gospel. Of the world's Hindus, Buddhists, and Muslims, 86% don't know a Christian. They don't even know a Christian. 86% of the world's Hindus, Buddhists, and Muslims. They couldn't even speak to a Christian if they wanted to. They don't know a Christian. Almost 30% of the world has never heard about Jesus. It's not hard to believe. 30%. These are up-to-date facts. That's about 1 in 3 people, the world's population, never even heard of him. It amounts to 2 billion unreached people. 2 billion. You're going through life unable to hear about Jesus, even if they wanted to. How are they going to call on him? Maybe you think, oh, that's very far away. Well, in Ireland, this island, there are 73 towns of similar size to Cumber. So think of Cumber. Think of all the churches in Cumber. In Ireland, there are 73 similar towns, and there's no gospel witness in any of them. 73 towns the size of Cumber. The entire county of Offaly, bang in the centre of Ireland, it's got a population of over 70,000 people. So this is a county, over 70,000 people, and there's only one evangelical church. One evangelical church. How are they going to call on him? According to one newspaper at Christmas time recently, 1,000 children were asked in a London shopping centre a multiple choice question. Who is Jesus Christ? That was the question. Who is Jesus? There was multiple choice. Son of God, a footballer, a pop star, and a few other possible answers. 1 in 5 of those children thought Jesus Christ was a footballer who played for Chelsea. 1 in 5 of those children. How will they call on him? We think people know the gospel. They maybe know the name of Jesus. They've maybe heard something about it. Even children here around us. But a lot of them haven't really heard. How are they going to call on him? You think your colleagues know, but have they really heard? Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. The alternative is hell. And millions upon millions upon millions of people are on their way there. And we have the only means of escape in our heads and hearts, Jesus Christ. It is a glorious message, the gospel. Universal, essential, and beautiful. And we must pray. And we must send. And we must go out with it. But my friend, before you think about other people's eternity, what about your eternity? Because you have heard this gospel and you are without excuse. You're more privileged than 2 billion other people this evening. And you've heard it maybe countless times. Have you believed? Have you called on the name of the Lord? You should. You must, because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen.